Chapter 55. As he had promised, Manfred caught the Friday evening flight for Cape Town. On the Saturday night, Rod and Terry took a wild chance on not being recognised and spent the evening at the Kyalami Ranch Hotel. They danced and dined in the Africa Room, but were on their way back to the apartment before midnight. In the dawn, a playful slap with the rolled-up Sunday papers, which Rod delivered to Terry's naked posterior as she slept, triggered off a noisy brawl in which a picture was knocked off the wall by a flying pillow, a coffee table overturned, and the shrieking and laughter reached such a pitch that it called down a storm of indignant thumping from the apartment above them. Terry made a defiant gesture at the ceiling, but they both subsided, gasping with laughter, back onto the bed, to indulge in activity every bit as strenuous, if not nearly so noisy. Later, much later, they collected Melanie and once again spent the Sunday at the stud farm on the Vaal. Melanie actually rode a horse, a traumatic experience which bade fair to alter her whole existence. After lunch, they launched the speedboat from the boathouse on the bank of the river and water-skied down as far as the barrage, Terry and Rod taking turns at the wheel and on the skis. It occurred to Rod that Terry Steiner looked good in a white bikini. It was dark before Rod delivered his sleeping daughter to her mother. "Who is this Terry that Melanie talks about all the time?" demanded Patty. She was still sulking about Rod's promotion. Patty had a memory like a tax collector. "Terry?" Rod feigned surprise. "I thought you knew." And he left Patty glaring after him as he went back down the stairs. Terry was curled up in the leather bucket seat of the Maserati, just the tip of her nose protruding from the voluminous fur coat she wore. "I love your daughter, Mr. Ironsides," she murmured. "It would appear that the feeling is reciprocated." Rod drove slowly towards the Hillbrow Ridge, and Terry's hand came out of the wide fur sleeve and lay on his knee. "Wouldn't it be nice if we had a daughter of our own one day?" "Wouldn't it?" Rod agreed dutifully, and then found to his intense amazement that he really meant it. He was still investigating this remarkable phenomenon as he parked the Maserati in the basement garage of his apartment and went round to open Terry's door. Manfred Steiner watched Terry climb out of the Maserati and lift her face towards Rodney Ironsides. Ironsides stooped over her and kissed her, then he slammed and locked the door of the Maserati, and arm in arm, the two of them crossed to the elevator. "Peterson Investigations always delivers the goods," said the man at the wheel of the black Ford, parked in the shadows of the garage. "We will give them half an hour to get settled in comfortably. Then we will go up and knock on the door of his apartment." Manfred Steiner sat very still and unblinking on the seat beside the private detective. He had arrived back in Johannesburg 3 hours previously in answer to the summons from the Investigation Bureau. "You will leave me here. Drive the Ford out and park at the corner of Clarendon Circle. Wait for me there," said Manfred. "Hey, aren't you going to..." The detective was taken back. "Do as I tell you." Manfred's voice stung like thrown vitriol. But the detective persisted. "You will need evidence for the court. You need me as a witness. Get out," Manfred snapped, and opening the door of the Ford, he climbed out and closed the door behind him. The detective hesitated a moment longer, then started the engine and drove out of the garage, leaving Manfred alone. Manfred moved slowly towards the big, shiny sports car. From his pocket, he took a gold-plated penknife and opened the large blade. He had recognized that the car was of special significance to the man. It was the only form of retaliation he could make at the moment. Until Rodney Ironsides completed the drive on the Big Dipper Dyke, he could not confront him nor Teresa Steiner. He could not let them know he even suspected them. Such human emotions as love and hate and jealousy Manfred Steiner seldom experienced, except in their mildest manifestations. Teresa Hirschfeld he had never loved, as he had never loved any woman. He had married her for her wealth and station in life. The emotion that gripped him was neither hatred nor jealousy. It was affront. He was affronted that these two insignificant persons should conspire to cheat him. He would not rush in blindly now with threats of physical violence and divorce. No. He would administer an anonymous punishment that would hurt the man deeply. This would be part payment. Later, when he had served his purpose, Manfred would crush him as coldly as though he were stepping on an ant. As for the woman, he was aware of a mild relief. Her irresponsible behaviour had placed her completely at his mercy, both legally and morally. As soon as the strike beyond the Big Dipper had made him financially secure and independent, he could throw her aside. She would have served her purpose admirably. The journey which he had interrupted by this hurried return to Johannesburg was connected with the purchase of Sonder Ditch shares. He was touring the major centres, arranging with various firms of stockbrokers that on a given date they would commence to purchase every available scrap of Sonder Ditch script. As soon as he had completed this business, he would tell the private detective to drive him out to Jan Smuts Airport, where he had a reservation on the night plane to Durban, where he would continue his preparations. It had all worked out very well, he thought, as he slipped the knife blade through the rubber buffer of the triangular side window of the Maserati. With a quick twist, he lifted the window catch and pushed the window open. He reached through and turned the door handle. The door clicked open, and Manfred climbed into the driver's seat. The blade of the penknife was razor sharp. He started on the passenger seat and then the driver's seat, ripping the leather upholstery to shreds before moving to the back seat and repeating the process there. He slid the panel that concealed the tray of tools, each in their separate foam rubber padded compartment, and selected a tire lever. With this, he smashed all the dials on the dashboard, broken glass tinkling and falling to the carpeted floor. With the point of the tire lever, he dug into the rosewood panelling and tore out a section, splintering and cracking the woodwork into complete ruin. He climbed out of the Maserati and struck the windshield with the tire lever. The glass starred. He rained blows upon it, unable to shatter it, but reducing it to a sagging, opaque sheet. Then he dropped the tire lever and groped for his penknife again. On his knees, he slashed at the front offside tyre. The rubber was tougher than he had allowed. Annoyed, he slashed again. The knife turned in his hand, the blade folding against the blow. It sliced the ball of his thumb, a deep, stinging cut. Manfred came to his feet with a cry. Clutching his injured thumb, blood spurted from the wound. "Mein Gott, mein Gott!" Manfred gasped, horrified by his own blood. As he staggered wildly from the basement garage, he was wrapping a handkerchief around his thumb. He reached the waiting Ford, hauled the door open, and fell into the front seat beside the detective. "A doctor! For God's sake, get me a doctor! I'm badly hurt! Quickly! Drive, quickly!"